We'd like to call a meeting to order. Mr. Crawford, can you please lead us in the pledge?
It'd be my honor. Please follow after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, indivisible, and justice for all. Thank you.
For the record, we're going to announce that all the board members are present. We also have, I have a little statement that I'm going to read to help the listeners to maybe be able to make comments if they would like on agenda items. To all our listeners in the audience, please note that you will be muted for the majority of the meeting. If you would like to unmute yourself to participate in the discussion, please press *6 on your phone. Please note that the meeting host may mute or unmute you during the meeting, and that the announcement on your phone will let you know when that happens. Thank you. So, folks in the audience, you can use the *6 if you would like to make comments. There was no action to announce out of closed session. Comments from board members. Mr. Davis.
None at this time.
Trustee Boone.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everybody for their hard work. I mean, we're in unprecedented times and, you know, we're trying to hit a moving target from all aspects of reopening schools to the budget. And, you know, I just appreciate everybody's perseverance and their hard work. So thank you, everybody.
Trustee Allison. Trustee Fleury. Trustee Fleury.
Yes, I would like to echo what Jeff said. Everybody's working hard to make this work, and it's times we have never had. Secondly, you know, we do the ACE Award for the Exchange Club. We've won 8 out of 10 years, and this year we're going to win again through the perseverance of the counselor at MCAA. The girl, the name escaped me, but the one that won is going to get $750 from our club, and the state increased it, because the state L club increased it, and they're going to get $2,200. And we were going to get it on Friday at Stevens Farmhouse, but because of the heat, I think we're right now it sounds like a cancel. And also, during my recent illness, I would like to thank everybody for the prayers and best wishes and the calls. When I left, the nurses, the doctors, the aides came in, and they told me that was a miracle that I had survived. So I've got a lot to be thankful for, and I have a different perspective on life. And I would just like to thank everybody for the prayers. And it made a difference.
Thank you. Mr. Allison, do you have any comments?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, before somehow I was muted, but I just wanted to reiterate what Jeff said. It's like he was thinking for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Scott.
Yes, I would just like to thank Mr. Boone for that comment. That was very much well received and appreciated. And I also would like to say to our staff, our teachers, I wish them a very nice summer. Please get rested and put your thinking caps on for our new upcoming school year. We can do this.
Trustee Crawford.
No comment.
I would just like to welcome Mr. Fleury home. It's been a long time, and Jim, glad to see that you're back home. The other
Thank
comment
you,
would be, oh, you're very welcome, Jim. kind of go along the same lines as this is Trustee Boom. The rules change every day. The information changes every day. And I agree with you that the staff trying to put together plans, it's a tremendous effort. I think they're doing a great job. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Do we have anybody there?
Yes, now I am.
Okay.
So thank you. Yesterday, since we're on the phone and it's hard for everybody, Angela Stiegel, president for the Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Yesterday, the MUTA bargaining team met with the district in our ongoing efforts to have a voice and provide input into the plan for next year. Currently, we're set to meet with the district every Monday at 9 a.m. at least to continue these discussions. We're hopeful that through these meetings and discussions that the educators of Marysville Joint Unified will be listened to and their tremendous experience and expertise will be valued and will have a positive and beneficial impact on the plan for next year. That's our intention and that is our mission. We look forward to working in a collaborative spirit in order to provide our teachers, educators, students, their families, and our community with the best year possible, especially given the unprecedented situation we will continue to deal with next year. And I also want to continue to thank everyone for their continued hard work and their extraordinary efforts. Although I know sometimes it seems like our efforts for anybody kind of go unappreciated, it's always nice once in a while to get what my dad calls the attaboy. And so an attaboy and attagirl to everybody who is continuing to work so hard on everything through this summer. And hopefully we can all find some way somehow to stay cool through this week. So thank you and have a great evening.
Thank you. Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Looks as though we have no public comment cards. Superintendent's Report. Mr. Fina.
Together, serving every student every day in every way. The headliner of tonight's board meeting is adoption of the proposed 2021 budget. The budget presented tonight is based on the government's revised budget in May, which reflected a $54 billion deficit, revised from a $6 billion anticipated surplus as recently as January. As a result, the proposed budget tonight reflects an $8 million budget reduction for 2021. Yesterday, the governor and state legislature came to an agreement on a compromise budget. Details of the state budget compromise are slow in coming and typically include trailer bills. Two big differences between the budget presented tonight and the one the state actually is agreeing on are, number one, use of deferral payments, where the state defers allocations to school districts to the next school year. And two, strong dependence on the federal CARES money. CARE stands for Coronavirus Aid and Relief Economic Security Act money. These efforts are designed to help reduce deficits and cushion the economic impact on schools and students for next year. So the economic impact is still coming, just not as much next year. Our business and fiscal services team have been working feverishly to put the best information forward tonight and will continue efforts toward gathering information on the new budget so we can best serve students. Just know, as the proposed adopted budget for 2021 is presented tonight, the legislature has softened the blow in general ways. Money, people, programs, materials, and services all exist to help students learn and grow, and they are all funded through our budget. The people who teach, coach, and serve students directly every day are at the center of student learning. Our business and fiscal services are an extension of those who directly teach, coach, and serve. Our business and fiscal services departments continue to work to provide the clearest economic reality to help our students learn and grow so that all of us working together as a team can serve every student every day in every way.
Thank you, Mr. Spina. Superintendent number one, approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 6/16/20. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? Not, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Motion to accept by Mr. Fleury.
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Second that by Mr. Allison. Was that Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Boone.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Aye.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that a board member would like to have pulled? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve the consent item, Frank Crawford.
Motion to approve by Trustee Crawford.
Is there a second? I'll second that, Paul Allison.
Second by Trustee Allison. Roll call vote. Any other questions or comments regarding the consent agenda? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Boone.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Aye.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. New business, categorical programs. And item number one, College and Career Access Pathway, CCAP partnership, a dual enrollment partnership agreement with Yuba Community College District. It's an informational item.
Jamie Larson.
Do we have Jamie Larson there?
I believe so. Good evening. It is my, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Good evening. It's my pleasure to present the annual dual enrollment agreement. The formal name is College and Career Access Pathway Partnership. This marks, I believe, the third year that we have entered into this formal MOU with the Yuba College District. It is a similar agreement to what you have seen in the past. We don't have any additional changes to the course offerings, and nothing has been deleted. So if you are, I know that after this, we'll move into a public hearing. And then if you so choose to approve the agreement, we will once again be able to offer a dual enrollment platform for our students, an opportunity for them to take classes, in some cases taught by our staff that can meet the minimum qualifications for the college. They teach those courses on our campus, and a few courses are offered by college faculty, but they are offered there on our campus. Students, obviously, as the name alludes to, receive both high school credit for those classes as well as college credit too.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Larson. Okay, moving on to item number two, College and Career Access Pathways CCAP Partnership Agreement, Dual Enrollment Partnership Agreement with Yuba Community College District. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the College and Career Access Pathways Partnership Agreement, a dual enrollment partnership agreement with Yuba Community College. Public hearing is now open. Do we have any comments?
I guess this is Brandy Davis, and I just wonder with this distance learning, how we think this is going to come together. Will this all be online?
We will follow the same format that the regular school takes. I know that one of the topics of conversation has been how can we include lab time in for these hands-on types of classes. And not all of them are that, but many of them are. And so we will, you know, as somebody said earlier in the board meeting, things are changing every single day in terms of what, you know, implementation is going to look like. But there is a good chance that, yes, at least a portion of the classes will be provided online.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions or comments from the public?
Yeah, I can't wait to see the welding class online.
Well, hopefully we're going to be able to create some lab opportunities for kids to, you know, to come in and to be able to participate. But they do a lot with virtual welders and all of that. So we do still have an ability to teach some of those technical skills. And I know it's not exactly the same, but there is that hybrid type of a platform, even for career tech ed.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Mrs. Larson. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close, Frank Crawford.
Mr. Crawford, a motion to close the public hearing. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Davis.
Second by Ms. Trustee Davis. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Boone.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Aye.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, motion carries 7 yes. Now, is there a motion regarding the agreement?
Ms. Allison, I move that we accept the agreement with them.
Okay, we have motion by Mr. Allison to accept. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Susan Scott.
Second by Trustee Scott. Trustee Davis, excuse me, is there any other comments, questions? Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Boone.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Aye.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 7 yes. Buildings and Grounds Department. Project authorization number 1 with JK Architecture Engineering Incorporated for a modular building containing 3 classrooms at Annie McKinney Intermediate School. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve project authorization PA number 1 with JK Architecture Engineering Incorporated for professional architectural services for 1 new modular building containing 3 classrooms at Anna McKinney Intermediate School in the amount of $120,665 with a reimbursement fee of $1,000 totaling the amount not to exceed $121,665. Do we have Mr. Barnett?
We're asking the board to approve project authorization with JK Architecture Engineering for professional services. This is has to do with the program transfer of Wheatland schools that are transferring their programs, their special day class programs back to their sites. Starting the school year of 21-22. As a result of that, MJUSD We have four classrooms that we need to create space for. One SDC elementary classroom, two preschool classrooms, and one intermediate. The elementary and the two preschool classrooms are being absorbed in current classrooms. At McKinney, this was the situation where adding the space, and then also the ED program is there, which does not have enough space. Also, at the time of development of this, Anna McKinney had projected enrollment that was they wouldn't have room for. So that's bringing back to the conscious level the what this project is and the history behind it. Mr. Barnett, was there anything you wanted to add to this?
No, I just wanted to bring to light that JK Architecture is also the firm who helped us with the Edgewater classroom build. So I have high faith that they're going to be able to complete this successfully within the budget that we've given them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Frank Crawford.
Motion approved by Trustee Crawford. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second, but.
Who was that first time?
Allison.
Okay, Trustee Allison has a second. Is there any other discussion or question?
You know, we talked about this back in February or January, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like we're ready.
Yeah. Yes, and when we talked, it was the board felt, hey, we get what we pay for, so you asked the group to go back and take a look at, the facility, and they've actually gone back a second time due to budget cuts and, upgraded a bit, but then downgraded that upgrade, but it's still an upgrade when we had that discussion.
Any other comments? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Allison?
Aye.
Trustee Fleury?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Buildings and Grounds Department, number 2. Contract with Kiz Construction Incorporated for the MCAA Portable Addition Project Number 8197. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board award the portable addition at the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts to Kiz Construction Incorporated and approve the contract in the amount of $158,000 with a 10% contingency of $15,800. Totaling the amount not to exceed $173,800. Mr. Barnett?
Yes, good evening. So this is gonna cover the construction cost to install the new modular classroom, which was purchased several months ago for MCAA's growth. So this is gonna be able to hook up all the utilities, plumbing, electrical, also prep the pads. And as you can see, because construction came in is significantly lower than others. So this is just to prep the ground and get all the utilities ready for the delivery of the modular classroom that was purchased several months ago.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Frank Crawford.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Susan Scott.
Second by Trustee Scott. Are there any other questions or discussion? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Boone?
Yes.
Trustee Allison?
Aye.
Trustee Fleury?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Trustee Boone? Can you say your vote again? It seemed like it cut out a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion carries, 7 yes. Buildings and grounds, number 3. Proposal with Mid-Pacific Engineering Incorporated for the Oliver Site Improvement, project number 8198. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board ratify the proposal with Mid-Pacific Engineering Incorporated for the Oliver Site Improvement project in the amount not to exceed $11,259.
Excuse me. We do not like to bring ratifications to the board. In this case, I hope that the board remembers photographs as soon as the asphalt was removed, that there was moisture in the soil. And so this ratification is to test the soil before a mitigation plan was developed. Mr. Barnett?
Yes. So this is, as we started this project and we started peeling up all the asphalt at the ground, as Mr. Sinas stated, it became evident that the ground had accumulated lots of water over the years. All the downspouts were actually draining directly onto the asphalt, which saturated the ground underneath. So this ratification was necessary to keep the project going. So we had heavy equipment out on the site and they needed to keep moving. But it was necessary to be able to develop a mitigation plan to continue to get to the engineers to go ahead and give us a mitigation plan to move forward. So it was a necessity to keep the project moving and to develop that mitigation plan to deal with the bad soils out there.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Is there a motion?
Wait,
Mr. Rasmussen, I have a question.
I'd like to do the motion in second, then we'll take questions.
Can I ask a question?
After we do a motion and a second, then we'll take questions and comments.
Okay.
So is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Scott. Is there a second?
Second by Randy Davis.
Second by Mr. Davis. Okay, questions or comments?
Yeah, Travis, is that hydrated lime that they're adding to the soil, and how much lime are they adding?
It doesn't have specifics. It's basically to amend the soil, so we'd have to go into the engineering plan, which is with the contractor right now. So I don't have specifics, but as we go through it, basically you'll see it on the next change order to move forward for the mitigation plan. That'll be broken down in something called a schedule of values, and in that schedule of values it'll tell you how much lime was laid down, how much surface area was treated. That way we can keep track of the cost on the mitigation.
I'm sure they know what they're doing. I mean, they've been using lime to dry up soil for over 2,000 years.
Exactly. This was just another step, just to, you know, we're not taking shots in the dark. That way for public and for everybody's awareness that third party comes out and tests this soil. That way we have backup to ensure that we are mitigating it correctly and that we can get the warranty with the playground and the asphalt once it's all installed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess the one question I have for you, Travis, is since we know where the water came from, have we done anything to mitigate that?
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're doing a high fiber asphalt in there. They have fiber put into the asphalt. It was not designed to have the downspouts tied into any storm drain because there's no storm drain in that area to tie into. So what typically happened is that playground, we wouldn't have seen so much saturation, but the playground at Oliver's, if anybody had if you actually were out there and seen it, it's something called alligatoring where the entire asphalt just is cracked. So once the integrity of that asphalt failed, all those downspouts were just soaking into the ground. So currently we're aware of what caused it, but we shouldn't have any problems like that since we're recompacting, putting the asphalt in, seal coating and everything else like that. So we won't have all that water penetrating as we did. It will run off and drain into a storm drain further out on the playground. So we were able to identify what that problem was, but it wasn't included into engineering into the costs. It would have exponentially increased the cost of this project.
So we think the drainage will be mitigated.
Yeah, so definitely what caused the saturation was the failing integrity of the existing asphalt. So once we have this all fixed, we won't have that problem anymore because everything will be sealed. And then we'll have proper drainage and grading for the runoff. So it won't be standing water anymore.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments, board members or the public? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Hello?
Trustee Boehm, are you there?
I think we lost him.
Yes. Yes, we lost you for a second there, Randy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
David. Boehm, your vote?
Trustee Boehm, yes.
Trustee Allison.
Aye.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Aye.
Allison, motion carries, 7 yes. Buildings and grounds number 4. Resolution 2019-20/38. To approve request for proposals for pre-construction and leaseback services and form of pre-construction services agreement and leaseback agreement. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution to the Arbogue Elementary School expansion conversion to a TK 8 school project. Is there a motion?
Motion approved. Frank Crawford.
I'll second that. This is Jim Fleury.
Thank you. Okay, we have Mrs. Lawson.
Good evening. We're very excited to continue to move this project forward, and this resolution allows the district to utilize the leaseback construction project delivery method, which was specifically authorized by the state legislature to help school districts deliver school facilities on time, on budget, and with a reduced level of public risk. And that's per Ed Code 17406. The best part of a leaseback method, maximum price, so the project's value to ensure there are no change orders, which is terrific. The sequence of events for the leaseback method is that the board would approve the resolution tonight, then our purchasing department will issue the request for proposals for a general contractor for the project. This will include pre-construction services, the actual construction, the site lease, and the sublease back to the district. Basically, all of the documents that are contained in the special report section of our board agenda. We'll have general contractors respond to the RFP by submitting their qualifications and proposals for the project. The submittals, once received, will be reviewed and scored by the district team. And then the highest rated contractors would then be interviewed. Based on those interviews and other qualifications, we will choose the highest contractor based on best value, combination of qualifications, and price, and that's who will be selected to build our project. Then we'll come back to the board for approval of the contractor, and we have a target date to do that of August 11th. Once approved, the contractor department to move forward with the project.
Are there any other input, or is there questions or comments?
Yeah, Mr. Rasmussen, this is Jeff Boom. I just have one comment. Penny, thank you for bringing back the lease back. It's a much better delivery method for the district and for the public and for the use of our tax dollars. So I appreciate you bringing that back for us.
Yeah, Trustee Boom, I've heard you talk about this a lot, and I think this is the first time that I'll get to experience it that I've been on the board. So I'm excited to see how the process works.
Hey, I have a, this is Paul Allison. I talked to a number of people out in that area, back in January, and a lot of people are really concerned about that work on the school. I mean, I'm all for, school improvement, but a lot of people don't want it. They're worried about, the roads, kids going to school, stuff like that, the number of kids on the campus. And I just wanted to say that that's basically the same thing I said, 4 or 5 months ago. So I'd like us to think about that. Yeah, that's it.
Well, this is Randy Davis, and the concern I have is cost containment. And I'm hoping that this type of arrangement will keep that overruns and change order business to zero, given the nature of our 2020-2021 budget. So I appreciate anything you guys can do to keep the cost containment in place.
Absolutely. Can I speak on behalf of that as well? This is Travis Barnett.
Please.
So the other benefit of this leaseback auction and getting this going right now, it gives us the opportunity when we select a contractor to actually sit down, because we're in design right now. And in order to keep costs to a minimal to ensure there's no change orders, it's crucial that we bring a contractor on now, because they'll sit down with the architect as we're going through, and they'll be able to help us, so we're not over designing. So that way you don't see those change orders, because the contractor's in design from the very get-go. So he's going to identify any unforeseens almost upfront. So it does really help when we're looking at building this project to avoid those unnecessary costs. So that's the kind of the really neat thing about doing this leaseback is that now a contractor is going to have that buy-in while we're designing it to make sure we don't go over budget and that we're maximizing our dollar and getting the finished product that we want without knowing on the end that we're going to come up with a lot of change orders or overages. So it's just another advantage of using the leaseback option as well.
I'm happy to hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Jeff Boom. Hey, Penny, what, or Travis, either one, what is the contingency on the leaseback? And like Travis stated, you don't get contractors coming in, looking at the plans and looking and saying, they forgot this or they forgot that. We can throw a change order in here. We can throw a change order in there. We can budget this or, bid it a little bit lower, and then we can run these change orders to get our money up, so that we're making our money so we can get our profits up. So that's the beauty of the leaseback. But typically there still is some kind of a contingency, because you can't see everything that's unforeseen. So what kind of a contingency are we looking at, like 3%?
Typically on a new construction build, it used to be 5% contingency, but we're sticking around the 10% contingency mark, just to ensure, just because of the price and the inflation of things. So there will be a contingency attached to the project once we start designing it. But the idea is, like you're stating, is that we come up to the table with our all-in budget, and they're right there designing it to that. So, but like you said, there should be built-ins for unforeseens, but typically from my understanding, when I've talked to the architects and contractors, they're pretty much in from the design phase. So when they say they're gonna do it for a certain price, it's on them. They take the risk of saying, they went through every possible, scenario to come to with what they're gonna do. But that's to my understanding of it. But the industry standard right now is 5 to 10% contingency on new construction.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments or questions? Comments from the board, from the public? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
We lost you, Randy.
Yeah, I don't know why they're going in and out.
Hello? Randy?
Hi.
Oh, the other one, Randy.
Yeah, I know. Here.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Are you there?
Yeah,
there you are.
Now you are.
Yeah, I thought you went home.
No kidding.
So we're going to start over our roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes. I dropped out again.
There he goes.
Yeah, we lost you again. We lost you again, Mr. Rasmussen.
Isn't that a commercial?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
That's what it sounds like.
You can't hear anything?
No,
now we can hear you.
We can now.
Yeah, get what closer to your phone.
Just quickly, maybe it's a time thing.
I think it might be the air conditioner. It's either a coincidence or the air conditioner. The three times we've had the issue is when it did.
Mr. Cena seems to think maybe it's our air conditioner. Turn it off.
Go sit outside.
No, don't go outside.
I'm kidding. Gee.
Trustee Boom.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Hey.
Trustee Murray.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 6-1. Mr. or Trustee Allison, no. Okay, Buildings and Grounds number 5. Hopefully we make it through here. Contract with KYA Services for the renovation and replacement of the Marysville High School Boys Locker Room, project number 8302. Purpose of the agenda item. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the contract with KYA Services for the renovation and replacement of the Marysville High School Boys Locker Room in the amount of $181,253.32 with a 4.5% contingency of $8,156.39. Total amount $189,409.71.
Yeah, hello, Travis Barnett here, Buildings and Grounds. This has been on the dockets here and talked about for many years for Marysville High School. It's an extreme safety concern. Last year we had. Okay, for some reason it muted me in the middle of that. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So this.
Go ahead. So Travis.
So, yeah. Sorry, it's the system keeps muting me and unmuting me. You guys hear me now?
We're kind of changing our process. Before we get input from staff or public, we're going to go through a motion and then have a second. And we're going to allow discussion about the item, okay?
Excellent. Okay, sounds great.
So back on this item number 5, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Approved by Randy Davis.
Was that a motion to approve, Mr. Davis?
Yes, it was.
Is there a second?
I'll second that, Jim Fleury.
Okay, now Mr. Barnett, go ahead. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you for your patience. So this project has been actually talked about for several years. It's been a safety concern at Marysville High School now for quite some time. Last year we had a student rip their back open and required stitches. The locker room is in just great disrepair. This is going to remove all the damaged lockers that are in there, replace them with new, including benches. They're going to be epoxying the floor in there, cleaning the showers up, and just making it a safe place for students to go in and change. So it's a long time overdue. Siobhan has used some of her lottery money as well to reach the goal here to get this project completed. So it's something that's needed, and I think that the community and the site will really appreciate it once all said and done.
Thank you. Are there any comments or questions from board members?
The one question I have for you, Travis, this is Randy Davis, is will this be finished by the August opening?
Currently, with the delays we're having, we're anticipating, because we're hoping to get this on before the pandemic broke out, but I'm thinking this should be completed somewhere towards the end of September with the delays we've had with COVID. So we're shooting to get things ordered. If this is approved, we can get the PO created, contact the vendor, and have them start manufacturing the lockers as well. So the goal is to have it done as soon as possible, but we're probably looking at realistically at the end of September to get this completed on time. And the site is aware of that. We've talked to Ms. Mathis at Marysville High School and let her know of the delay, and she said she'd work with us with the scheduling and getting it completed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other comments or questions? Any comments or questions from the public? If not, we'll have a roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Boone?
Yes.
Trustee Allison?
Aye.
Trustee Fleury?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Buildings and grounds number 6. Project authorization number 2 with JK Architecture Engineering Incorporated for modular daycare building at Linda Elementary School. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve project authorization PA number 2 with JK Architecture Engineering Incorporated for professional architectural services for one new modular daycare building at Linda Elementary School in the amount of $74,120. With a 5% reimbursement fee of $3,706, totaling the amount not to exceed $77,826. Is there a motion?
Motion to accept.
Accept by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second by Randy Davis.
Randy Davis. Okay. Do we have comments? Is that Mr. Cena?
Yes. We're requesting that the board approve project authorization number 2 with JK Architectural Engineering for this project, which is, it says daycare. It's actually for preschool. This is part of the inclusion grant and the efforts to include students of varying ranges of developmental levels and so I just wanted to clarify that it says daycare. It's actually for preschool. We put daycare because that's what the contractor put on his paperwork, and but there's no difference between a preschool and a daycare building. And so, and just to give a perspective of its purpose, it's part of the inclusion grant, and Linda has been identified as the site that's most beneficial to helping include because of the increase in preschool enrollment, but then to have special ed kids included with general ed kids and kids of all developmental levels learning together.
Thank you. Are there any other, is there any questions or comments?
I guess the one question for me, Randy Davis, is when do we think this would be completed?
On a project like this, from start to finish, it's probably going to take us at least, I'd say, 11 to 12 months for completion to get this done, starting now. So it's usually, it probably takes about three to four months in design phase and DSA, and then going out to bid and getting everything put in. So I'd probably say we'd have this done within 11 to 12 months.
The purpose, or the idea was to have it ready for not this upcoming school year, but the 21-22 school year. So it would be on schedule for that.
Thank you.
Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee?
Yes.
Trustee Allison? We'll come back to Mr. Allison. Trustee Fleury?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi.
Anyone there? Are you there?
Can you hear us?
I can hear somebody. I can hear Randy Davis. Can't hear anybody else.
Yeah. I dropped
okay.
out.
So if you could hold off and maybe we'll talk on this end and then we can determine if you're hearing us or other board members. Can you hear us now, Paul?
Sort of, I keep cutting in and out, but my vote would be aye.
Crawford, are you there?
Yeah, yes, my vote is yes. You're not coming in.
What?
Never mind, I just can't hear you 80% of the time.
Hey, can you hear us now, Frank?
Yeah, Randy. Yeah, it's just a breakup. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. I'm just as new to this as you are.
The agenda item is to request the board approve the amendment between Marysville Joint Unified School District and the Assistant Superintendent of Personnel Services, Romero Carrion.
Take a motion first. Or
yes. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second? Second to the motion.
Anyone there?
Yes. Are we? Can you hear us now?
Nope.
No.
Oh, I heard that.
Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Mr. Yeah. Allison.
Hello.
Okay. Mr. Williams is checking our cords. Maybe we have a little plug-in issue or something. Okay, Mr. Allison, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
So we had, how about, I guess maybe, Mr. Boom, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we had a motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second to that agenda item?
I'll second that, Allison.
Okay, Mr. Allison, second. Okay.
We have discussion.
Discussion.
Hey, just to clarify, this item is on.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Last year, at the same time, we had to give a 2% increase in salary for Ramiro and Mike. And is this the same? Are we just doing this again? And did we give everybody a raise this year that I don't know about?
Assistant super. Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Oh, Paul. Hey, I heard your question. In the assistant.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, it goes in and out.
Okay. In the assistant superintendent's contract, it says that each year, after the other bargaining units have agreed to an amount of an increase, that assistant superintendent shall get that same level of compensation.
So is there a bargaining agreement that I forgot about? Because we did the same thing last June.
Yeah. And with that, and in last June in that vote, there was an amendment that amended it to this year so that it applies, but it says it in the contract. It says it in Mr. Carey.
You know, I love Ramiro. I think you should get 100% raise. But
I think last year, I think when we looked at this last year, it was for last year's.
Right.
And what we're looking at right now is for the 19-20 school year. And
19-20.
So we're looking at this particular school year, and it goes retroactive back to July. So what we voted on last year was last year, and what we're voting on this year is this school year.
Okay. Well, I think we ought to rewrite that part of the contract.
Okay. Is there any other questions or comments? So we had a motion by Mr. Crawford, a second by Mr. Allison. Any other comments? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Boom.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Aye.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Number 2, amendment to the employment contract with Penny Lossing. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the amendment between the Marysville Unified School District, and the Assistant Superintendent of Business Services, Penny Lossing. Mr. Fina?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out.
Sorry.
Oh, no,
follow
ahead.
I'm not showing my proper process again. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a
I'll
second? Second by Mr.
Second.
Allison. That was Mr. Allison, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Cena?
Well, I just wanted to point out in special reports, if you look at page 313, you'll see the addendum to Mr. Carrion's contract. And if you look on page 326, you'll see the addendum to Ms. Lossing's contract. So that you see what it is that voting on and approving each year as it relates to that year.
Okay, can I make a comment about Ms. Lawson?
Sure.
Well, this goes back to July 1st, and she wasn't working for us in July 1st. She was still working Eureka District or up in Virginia, and or wherever it was. And I don't remember her showing up until, gosh, at least September or October. So this goes retroactive all the way back to July 1st.
Allison, this is Romero Carrion, and the term is similar and the same as other management group members. So while in the term, the verbiage refers to retroactive to July 1, 2019, in effect, it will not be in retroactive that far back. It will only be retroactive November 1, 2019, when Ms. Lossing started her service with the district.
Thank you.
The verbiage has to be the same as other management groups.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's why 7-1-2019, the retroactive in effect will only go back to November 1.
Thank you, Mr. Carrier.
Any other questions? Any questions from the public? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Allison?
Aye.
Trustee Fleury?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Business services, number one, public hearing for 2021 proposed adopted budget. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing to review the district's 2021 proposed adopted budget. Public hearing is now open.
Good evening again. What I'd like to do is ask you to follow along with the PowerPoint presentation slides that I've prepared to present the budget to you. And it's entitled 2020-21 Budget for Adoption, Board of Trustees, Public Hearing and Adoption, June 23rd, 2020. And then the second slide is the agenda, and it starts off with acknowledgement. And I wanted to pause for a moment for all of the work that they put into preparing this this major project being our budget for adoption. In particular, Jen Cecilia and Amy Littlefield were crucial to getting this prepared in an accurate manner. I'd also like to thank the sites and the various departments, Mr. Sina and Mr. Carrion, who were all important to building our budget. And I'd also like to thank the board because of all the additional board meetings and with our COVID-19 pandemic. In particularly the board budget workshop that we held, I think was very valuable for the board's knowledge and for our stakeholders' knowledge as well as we enter these uncharted territory with our budget. So moving on to slide 3, this is, you're familiar, I'm sure, with our LCAP budget cycle. We're at the top of the cycle with July adopting the budget for the next fiscal year. The three different colors signify the three different years that we deal with every fiscal year. Once this budget's adopted, then in August, we have 45 days after the state enacts the state budget to come back and share with you what that impact will be on our adopted budget. We'll do that in August. It's not actually listed on this cycle, but that's the next step. And this just goes through and tells you each different official report on our budget. And then when you get to the green circles, that's signifying the next year, which will be 2021-22. We start looking at that in January. So if there aren't any questions about our budget cycle, I'll move on. And slide 4 is the impact of COVID-19 on our budget and what we know. Well, we know for sure that this budget's been developed under a great deal of uncertainty due to the COVID-19. We were obligated to use assumptions from the May revise to build the budget. We know that the assumptions will change substantially based on the final enacted state budget. And we do have preliminary indications of what that might be, but we're going to follow through adopting the budget based on our May revise. Another thing the district can be really proud of is that the district responsibly maintained a significant reserve over the past several years. However, that reserve level becomes significantly depleted when you look at our current multi-year projection. Moving on to slide 5, continuing the impact of COVID-19 on the budget. Our budget is built based on our local control accountability plan. And we know that the LCAP identifies specific actions and strategies that to achieve the goals of the district, which ultimately are to improve our students' achievement. Typically, the LCAP is approved the same day the budget's presented. Today, though, a written report addressing the impact of school closures due to COVID-19 is included for approval, and that's in lieu of the LCAP. The LCAP is now due December 2020, but I'd like to share with you what we expect will be a certain change based on the most recent budget details that are emerging on the state budget agreement that Mr. Cena alluded to earlier. And that is that the local control accountability plan is no longer required for 2020-21, but LEAs must still adopt the LCFS budget overview for parents by December 15th in 2020. So they were moving the LCAP due date to December 15th. Now they're eliminating the LCAP, but they're going to require us to do the budget overview for parents, which is like a summary of the budget specifically for parent stakeholders. So if we move along to slide 6, this slide basically came from the school services May revision. Will there be a revised state budget? The short answer is probably. And the May revision gave us the important foundation for the state and local budgets that we know we have to adopt by July 1st. But there continues to be that gaping hole of information in order to build a more accurate budget. And things like the unemployment rate changes that are going to be occurring because of all the high unemployment now. The district pays that as part of statutory benefit on every dollar of salary. Personal income tax revenue, which is the largest share of the general fund revenue for the state, and those tax payments that were deferred from April 15th, not due until July 15th now. So the state's ability to know what the revenues are, you know, is projected out even further because of that that delay or deferred deadline. And then consumer confidence shaken by the current state of the economy, and it may be quite a while before confidence rebuilds. The state will likely need to revise its budget when more information becomes available later this summer. So stay tuned. On to slide 7. The district, MJUSD's approach to spending in the 2020-21 budget, expenditure has been reduced to match the reduction in revenue as much as possible at this point. As the pandemic escalated in March, the district transitioned to remote learning, administration began reducing expenditures wherever possible. Vacant positions are carefully evaluated before filling them, and discretionary spending has been virtually eliminated. The district's eliminating the normal annual allocations to deferred maintenance for 1 year, and that will save $2 million in our budget for adoption. The district's also eliminating the annual allocation of $1.3 million toward other post-employment benefits, which basically are retiree benefits. Instead, we're going to use the pay-as-you-go method of payment. And that's acceptable for now until we can comfortably continue to pre-fund our OPEB. And then as state and district budgets improve, I think it's important that we consider restoring these allocations as funding permits, and I realize that may be quite a while. Slide 8, MJUSD's approach to spending continued. The district's reducing the district office department budget by 7.5% for a savings of $700,000, because we did talk about them in the board budget workshop. The district's reducing school site discretionary spending by 7% for a savings of $400,000. The district's postponing the purchase of a new school bus for a savings of $200,000. And we do have some grant opportunities for new buses where they have any outgo. I mean, the grants would pay for them, so we're hoping to that comes through for us. And then we move on to, that was talking about the 2020-21 budget. Now we're gonna look again at the impact of COVID-19 on the current 19-20 ending fund balance. Due to COVID, in March 2020, a rapid transition to remote learning occurred. As a result, many expenditures planned were reduced or eliminated altogether. Even though there were additional expenses incurred due to COVID-19, overall spending decreased from budgeted levels. The result is higher than anticipated carryover and ending fund balances. So then if we go to slide 9 and look at all of the numbers, that is again the 19-20 general fund estimated actuals. This is our last look at this year before the fiscal department spends the summer closing the books on 19-20, and then we'll present to you the unaudited actuals in September. But this is a look at the revenues, expenditures, and other sources and uses, and then the unrestricted and restricted side of the budget. We talked about that in the budget workshop, and then the combined total. And then I've circled some things that I wanted to draw your attention to, and that's in our other sources and uses. We transferred in to the general fund on the unrestricted side almost $3 million, $2.9 million from the Special Reserve Fund 17, where we had started setting aside money to pay the future COPS payments, Certificates of Participation, that the district has left over from previous year's building facility construction. So all of our reserves are now held in the general fund to make it a little bit simpler to see things and maybe a little bit more transparent. And then on the transfers outside, I wanted to draw your attention that probably for the first time in, I don't know if it's ever, the cafeteria fund, it was requiring a transfer from our unrestricted general fund to the cafeteria fund 13 to balance their books, because in just the 3 months or a little bit less that the COVID-19's occurred and we've maintained the nutrition service program, we lost a lot of participation. And that means that we actually provided fewer meals. There was less need of about 75% fewer meals, even though we did, you know, all of the different locations and we did bus stops and all of that, we still decreased substantially on the participation. So the Fund 13, the cafeteria fund needs that $1.2 million to balance their books. And then the other circled figure is the net increase to the fund balance for the general fund, $1.18 million. which is great. The next slide shows the fund balance portion of the general fund estimated actuals. And there I thought it important to show you on the assigned funds that what that $9 million is comprised of. And it's the one-time facilities money. Some of that was approved for expending in previous agenda items tonight. There's LCAP textbook set aside money. Then there's that 2.9 you can see for the future COPS payment. That's assigned as well. And then the 828,000 is actually the district's match for the early education expansion grant that's going to fund the new preschool classroom at Linda School. So that's assigned as well. So when we budget those in the new year's budget, some of those amounts will decrease from ending fund balance and go up into expenditures. The next slide is might look familiar because it's from the board budget workshop. And I just wanted to just give a shout out to the accuracy of our fiscal department because they anticipated the $1.1 million of increase to general fund balance in our current year. And that's exactly what it is in our budget for adoption and estimated actuals. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. They do a really good job. We're really fortunate because with things changing so rapidly and the need for budget reductions, if we didn't have an accurate budget, we could be making decisions on the wrong numbers. And we don't have to worry about that here because we have an accurate budget. And it's because of the dedication of the folks in that department is the reason why. So then we're moving on to 2020-21 budget for adoption. So here we go. This looks like the estimated actuals, and I like to keep things consistent so that we can that we get really used to what this looks like so we understand it well. The green little bubble is pointing to unrestricted federal funds, $4.7 million. I'm happy to say that the budget details that have been forthcoming with the recent budget compromise between the governor and the legislature is indicating more like 9.7 million. So that's a substantial increase that we should be looking at that we can update in August when we show you the revision to this budget. So see, we're already working on the revision. Very fluid. The next arrow is indicating budget savings as a result of not filling some vacant positions for staff. And that, again, was very carefully analyzed and evaluated. And then they were not added to the budget. So this is the decrease. And then the next information is very important. And that's that this budget does not include additional positions and other expenses that we may need due to COVID-19 just because we haven't actually determined what those needs are yet. We're still working on it, as is most every district, because things are changing so quickly, we're trying to put the plan together. But things like potential for additional custodial services or whatever the expenses are going to be, additional transportation costs. You know, we're working on that, and we should have all of that available soon. And then in this current, the 2020-21 budget for adoption tonight, we're also including another transfer to the cafeteria fund. We feel that participation, especially if we have distance learning involved, which we almost assuredly will have some form of distance learning next year, we're going to need to backfill the cafeteria fund 13. And then so that bottom circle is a decrease in unrestricted fund balance of almost 3.4 million. But that, again, without the additional expenses, but then also without the additional federal funds. So we'll get a better picture in August. So then we'd move to the fund balance slide. And again, I'm showing you what the assigned monies are. And those are just still there because we haven't moved some of those facilities up into expenses. They'll drop out of the fund balance and move up into expenses when that occurs. I circled the unassigned other because that's really more what our balance is. You know, we have the non-spendable money, we have committed money, and that's for the OPEB funding of some of the retiree health benefits. And then we have our assigned money, and we have our 3% reserve for economic uncertainty, and we're not allowed to spend that. So really what we have available is that 13.6. But a total fund balance with the restricted, that's also only allowed to be spent on the particular categorical funds that generate it for specific purposes. So the unrestricted balance, 27.9, and then the combined 31.9. Sounds like big numbers, but when we see the multi-year, we'll be glad that we have them. So moving to slide 15 is the multi-year budget assumptions, including the current year for adoption assumptions. Prior to March, the district projected a slight increase in enrollment due to some of the housing development, which I believe is still occurring. Subsequently, ADA was projected to be slightly higher also. With the transition to remote learning, as you can imagine, it's become extremely difficult to project how enrollment and ADA will be impacted for this budget year and beyond. And then in this slide, it states the state's not yet defined how to calculate attendance for next year, but in some of those budget details that they've released, they are going to have an ADA hold harmless provision. And that's going to allow us to use ADA from 1920, which is what we base the budget on anyway. So that's one thing that won't be changing. But it will also include for the accountability in 2020-21, we'll rely on a learning continuity and attendance plan that must be adopted by September 30th and has public noticing requirements and so forth, and they expect to have a template available for us by August 1st. So no LCAP, but now a learning continuity and attendance plan due September 30th, which doesn't give us a whole lot of time. And there's very specific requirements, but I won't go into those right now. We'll be talking more about that later, I'm sure. So then continuing on with our multi-year budget assumptions, we have revenues, and we were looking at an LCFF reduction of 10%, which was a loss of 2.31% COLA for the 2020-21 year, and then a reduction from the 1920 levels of another 7.69%. Well, fantastic news. No reduction of 7.69% in this new budget deal, but they will not provide the COLA. So instead of the 10%, we're just going to have basically the 2.31% reduction of down to zero COLA. And so basically we're being funded at the 1920 level, which is tremendously better than the May revise indicated. Cost of living, our multi-years had zero COLA for all 3 years. The Federal CARES Act funds, we do have $4.7 million in our budget for adoption, but again, it's looking more like it'll be 9.7, which is a big difference. The restricted revenues, the special education, if you recall back in the budget board budget workshop, seems like ages ago, but I think it was last week. The special education additional May revise funding was indicated to be 2.6 million, but unfortunately that did not include a reduction for property taxes. So the result was that it's about $800,000 additional revenue rather than 2.6. So that's also something we will include in the August revision. But the new budget deal also changes that a little bit from $645 per ADA increased revenue for special ed to $625. So from $645 to $625 in the new budget deal, less the property taxes spread. So we'll bring you all of that update with the August revision. So moving on to expenses. Salary and benefits, as typical, we projected to increase by step and column costs each year. Benefits are adjusted commensurate with changes in salaries and according to the PERS and STRS cost increases. And they've kind of held those kind of flat. That's also continued in the, that was in the May revise and continued in the new budget deal. Material supplies and other operating expenses, we budgeted a 5% decrease next year and then remained constant with that 5% decrease in 22-23 just because of the nature of the recession that we're going to be in. Other outgo increases by 2.8 million beginning that second subsequent year. We always look at the multi-year, the current year and two subsequent years, and then frequently we'll show you a five-year. But that in 2022-23, we start paying our cops back. I'll let you know that we received six responses to our request for proposals for financial advisory services of a lot of firms that want to help us refinance our cops payment schedule and looking at a substantial reduction in that 2.8. I could say potentially up to maybe $400,000 less a year. So that's just an estimate, but that's good news as well. Other sources, just the increase in contributions to restricted programs are basically step, column, and maintenance costs. So the next slide shows us the 3 years, and the circles at the bottom show the declining ending fund balance, or the declining change in fund balance. This is just our revenues, expenditures, and other sources. And so the bottom line to those three components of the budget equal a change in the fund balance. Now, there were a lot of changes I've already shared to what's happening here. If they'd waited a day, then we would just be going with what the original was, but it's good to know there was a lot of good news. So we're not out of the woods by any means, but if we go on to the fund balance, we can see that at least we won't be down to just our 3% reserve in 2 years, which is what this multi-year projection is showing. If you see the unassigned other available funds, it's down to not much. And basically, when a district gets that low, and especially one of our size, you can't really maintain your financial stability due to a lack of necessary cash flow. But we'll see what happens when we get the August revision. Other funds, estimated ending fund balances is the next slide. And every other fund is projected to have positive ending fund balances. So then that brings us to what our next steps are. We're going to continue with our budget savings process that we talked about in the board budget workshop. We'll bring to you the plan and a timeline and for your approval at the July 21st board meeting. We're going to also be determining those additional expenses that I talked about that we don't have nailed down yet, because we don't really know what they'll all be, but we know that we're going to need to be able to promote a safe and healthy environment for everyone. And then the much anticipated August revision would be the next step. And I know that's a lot of information, so please feel free to ask any questions you'd like.
Are there any questions or comments from board members? Can you hear us out there, board members?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I thought Penny was going to have to repeat that.
No.
Are there any comments or questions from the public? No comments or questions? Okay, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Hey, Mr. Crawford, motion to close. Is there a second?
Second by Randy Davis.
Second by Mr. Davis. Any other discussion? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Boom? Trustee Boom?
Pick up.
Trustee, we'll come back. Trustee Allison?
Allison.
Hi.
Trustee Fleury? Trustee Fleury? Which one? Trustee Fleury? What is
yes.
your vote? Okay.
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Trustee Boom, are you there?
Yes.
Was your vote yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
That was yes.
Thank you. Motion carries 7-0 to close the public hearing. Next, is there a motion to regarding the adopted budget?
Motion to approve adopted budget.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
I will second it. This is Fleury.
Mr. Fleury, is there any other discussion? I would just like to thank Mrs. Lossing and her team for all the hard work of putting this together. And it's probably going to change by yesterday. But thank you, Mrs. Lossing.
You're welcome.
Roll call vote. Is there any comments or discussion from the public? Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Allison?
Aye.
Trustee Fleury?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 7 yes. Thank you. Next, we have item number 2 under business services, the COVID-19 operations written report for Marysville Joint Unified School District. The purpose of the agenda item is request the board approve the COVID-19 operations written report for Marysville Joint Unified School District. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Jeff Boom.
Thank you, Mr. Boom. Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Fleury.
Mr. Fleury, thank you. Mr. Cena?
Hello?
Okay. This is with the COVID, the LCAP, the state recognized early on that schools were going to need to plan, you know, develop distance learning, plan for the upcoming school year. So they extended or, you know, pushed out the LCAP approval till December 15th. As Mrs. Lawson just shared, they've since revised that as of yesterday and today, and there's actually another process. But in lieu of all that, for this, while adopting the proposed budget, there is a COVID-19 operations written report for Marysville Joint Unified School District that really specifies that during COVID-19, you know, what have we done, or what has our district done to help students learn and grow through distance learning. And so provide an overview explaining the changes to program offerings the local education agency has made in response to school closures. So as we know, all instruction, from March 17th through June 5th moved online, and that there's a real emphasis on teachers building relationships or maintaining relationships with students and families. Some of this you'll see is in past tense, some is in current tense, but one added, we are adding, we have received and are adding 750 hotspots to cover unlimited internet on devices of populations in need. I also already checked out 5,000 Chromebooks this year and have moved now. There's a one-to-one ratio between students and electronic devices so that at the beginning of the new school year, every student will be issued a Chromebook so they'll have access. We've maintained counseling and health, mental health workers that set up virtual lessons, and that we recognize that students are, career technical education courses, arts, music, those are programs that attract and retain students. So we're making an effort to emphasize. In special education, we've developed individualized distance learning plans for special ed students, as well as translating surveys and staff communications. In particular, the three central groups, English learners, foster youth, and low-income students, that second section on the second page, the middle section, identifies in each of those five areas, I'm sorry, each of those three areas, items from the front sheet that help support those groups in particular. And at the bottom, in terms of description of steps that have been taken by the LEA to continue high quality distance learning opportunities, really there is identifying the challenge of getting internet to the hard to the hard to reach areas, particularly in the foothills, also in areas of Oliver's, that we've used not only digital systems in our distance learning, but paper-based solution as well. And again, repeat checking out the 5,000 Chromebooks, moving the district so that every student will have a Chromebook, and then the access on the internet with the distance teaching and distance learning, number four, streamlining Clever, the login system, so that students and parents all have, and teachers all have access to all the curriculum, the digital curriculum. At our last meeting, that science, you adopted, the board approved adopting the science curriculum, which now allows science, all areas have digital curriculum. In the middle part of that third page, meal service. And that from day one, meal service is a top priority for families. And as you know, there were over 216,000 meals served during the closures. And during ordinary school hours, what do we do for arranging supervision of students? Our director of child development has been in connection since the original executive order with all the child care services in Yuba and Sutter counties, and has been helping place families and get resources to families who need childcare, especially essential workers. And then communication to families that that have been made via the internet, the MJUSD Child Development website, the Facebook page, and through other means of communication. So this is a report of what we've done to serve students during COVID-19 with distance learning.
Thank you, Mr. Cena. Any comments or questions?
Yeah, Mr. Rasmussen, this is Mr. Boom. Mr. Cena, I appreciate everything that you guys are doing, everything that you're working hard for. The equality in education in the foothills has been tough. A lot of families have been buying like Verizon hotspots and different things trying to accommodate their kids. And I appreciate you guys, you know, working on that. We just need to make sure that through Ed Services that we need to continue to work on that, that these students up in the foothills have the same access to the internet that other students have. I know it's kind of a monumental, almost really hard to do thing. So, but I appreciate what you guys have done, but there's still are issues in the foothills. I talked to a parent today that, you know, they were purchasing different things, trying to figure out ways to get internet service up to them. So anyways, I just wanted to put that out there, and I thank you for everything that Mr. Williams and the technology department's been doing.
No, thank you. Yeah, we share the heart wanting to serve all students, and you know, and then that's the purpose too of these extrinsic reminders too, is that, you know, that's how motivate human beings, is if we want to do it, and then also there's other motivation to stay focused and on top and doing whatever we can. We're devoted and dedicated to solve those solutions, and it may be one, you know, case by case and one at a time, but we're committed to addressing those needs.
Well, this is Randy Davis, and the one question I've had is that for those families that are not able to get to one of the hot spots, the example being up in the foothills, is there any way we might offer a classroom that's set up for the social distancing and all that stuff, where they could meet in a classroom with some instruction in lieu of the internet that they can't get, can't afford, or whatever else is going on in their lives?
Yes.
Hi, this is Brian Williams. Absolutely. Even throughout the course of this particular, let's just call it phase, I guess, of COVID, we increased the hours that our Wi-Fi was active on all the campuses. We extended it. We opened it up on weekends. We had it available much longer than we would on a normal basis. Just those opportunities, trying to make sure it was on late enough at night for when a parent does get home from work, if they can get near a campus. The idea moving forward would be as much as possible when we can have kids on campus, and as many kids as we can be able to provide those opportunities for them on campus as much as possible. We will do everything we can to give them that service. We will continue to make sure that the Wi-Fi at least is close to the campuses, or at least I should say spreading out as far as we can from the campuses, make that available for extended hours. I'll just make sure we give every child the best chance possible to connect to the resources that are available.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Is there any other questions, comments? We have a motion and a second. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Allison?
Aye.
Trustee Fleury?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Devin, yes. Motion carries. Business services number three, COVID-19 operations written report for Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the COVID-19 operations written report for the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts, MCAA. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve by Randy Davis.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Crawford, Trustee Crawford. Okay, Mr. Cena, or?
Yes, okay, so in your special report, Marysville Charter Academy of the Arts also has COVID-19 operations written report. If you look on pages 343 to 346, the report is very, very similar to the report I just summarized. And the differences are on 344 is the number of Chromebooks. The Marysville Charter Academy checked out 150 Chromebooks, and all 370 MCAA students have a Chromebook in 2021. And then in the middle part of page 345, when it talks about meal service, the quantity of meals is not the same. But other than that, Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts is working very much like Marysville Joint Unified in how we address needs of all students, particularly our low income, our EL, our foster youth, and our numerically significant subgroups. And that's MCAA's written report.
Thank you, Mr. Cena. Are there any questions or comments from board members? Any questions or comments from public? Now we'll take a roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Bowman.
Yes.
Trustee Allison.
Aye.
Trustee Fleury.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Aye.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. That looks like the end of our agenda. I just, again, would like to thank everyone for everything that they're doing. And be safe. Meeting adjourned.